on Radio Row at Super Bowl 58 with one of our favorite annual guests, Chris Sims, the former Longhorn quarterback. I'm going to lead off with that.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
You should.
And ProFootballTalk.com, longtime NFL quarterback. And Phil's son.
That's right. People are always like, and I'm like, my dad's career, I'm more protective and in love with my dad's career than my own career, right? And I've been called Phil my whole life. When I was on the field in the NFL, I would have referees, I'd get hit hard or whatever. Hey, you all right, Phil? Because they had reffed my dad's games. And I don't even blink an eye at it. So
you told me one time that you grew up in an environment in New York where it was nothing to sit in the stands and hear the fans say, your dad sucks. Or they didn't even know it was you.
And sometimes they did, they didn't care, and sometimes they didn't, they didn't care. It's New York. And we're in an era where, the quarterback didn't make $50 million a year, so he couldn't afford, my dad couldn't pay for a luxury suite as a starting quarterback in the 80s, right? So we sat with the people. And I sat in the mezzanine, the middle level. I like to sit up there because I could see the game, right? Mm-hmm. So, the game get over, I go, Dad, you missed blah, blah, blah down the middle. I don't know what the hell you were looking at. Sorry about that. But as you would imagine, it's New York, and it doesn't matter if you were good for three quarters. The fourth quarter, if it starts to fall apart, Phil, what the hell? You suck. And, somebody would stand up and be like, every now and then, be like, hey, this is his kid over here,
But, and what would you do?
Nothing. I was pretty young at that point. Yeah. It was more like my aunt and my mom might give them some ugly looks or whatever else, right? If I was a little older like I am now, they wouldn't want to say that stuff.
Here we are back at Super Bowl 58. Mahomes has become a regular in this
thing.
Is he now something that the NFL has never seen before?
Well, yeah, he is something that the NFL has never seen before. We know he's great, right? He's incredible. The way he plays, the versatility. I think he's hit, I was telling Mike Lombardi a few minutes ago, right, talking to the defensive coaches around football, Mahomes has hit the inevitability phase of his career where defensive coordinators basically feel like it's Brady or Peyton Manning. If he has the ball late in the game, they're going to win. He's just kind of he's kind of unstoppable. You can't be right against him. You need a break somewhere, somebody on their team to make a mistake. But to me, this is a guy that is clearly already one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, right? Doing it in a way that I don't think any quarterback's done it this way, right? We had Brady win three Super Bowls. They played defense. They ran the ball, right? Peyton Manning, certainly was awesome, but threw the interceptions early. They couldn't get to the big game. This guy's answering all questions, taking on all challengers. The AFC with one superstar quarterback after another, and they can't sniff the Super Bowl, right? So I just look at it, and from the start of his career, it was literally hey, we need you to throw for 350 and 400 week one right away. The team's on your shoulders right away. And that's rare. That's Dan Marino, John Elway, except he's probably got a little better team around him than they did in those days, and he just continues to make plays and play awesome.
And he lasted to the 10th pick in his year, and as I recall, you were one of the few.
It's one of the jump starts to my career.
You saw that, right? And what did you see? Why?
It was Super Bowl was over. And this, a week after the Super Bowl, the world I'm in, I got to start looking at draft picks and free agency and start breaking it down. So I turned on Mahomes' film, and I was blown away. Because I had a little of the preconceived notions of, it's Texas Tech, it's probably a lot of yards and all this bullcrap offense, but this doesn't work in the NFL. What is it? Let me see what this guy's all about. I turned it on, and my dad, I'll tell you, I literally got called. I said, I know who the number one quarterback in the draft is. He's like, oh, yeah. I was like, Dad, Mahomes is the greatest college kid I've ever evaluated. I was like, this is insane. The throws, the decisions, the movement, all of it. Now, what people get lost in is, the scheme, and it's Texas Tech, and he was 5-7. Well, damn, I didn't know he was supposed to play defense and protect and coach the team, too.
Yeah.
Damn, how is that possible? Then that's where people, get too caught up in that crap. I was able to see through that. And, he and Josh Allen are kind of my two guys that maybe garnered my most attention early on in my career to be the jump off.
And then you got Brock Purdy, who, and this drives me crazy because, you know, he's had a heck of a year.
Yeah.
But this term game manager.
Yeah.
Aren't all quarterbacks supposed to be game managers?
Why is it Mahomes? Yeah. Well, yeah. Why is it such a bad thing? And Mahomes, the way they're playing right now, their best way to play is kind of manage the game, play through the defense. What do you think he did in Baltimore? I mean, they had 68 yards the whole second half until that last throw to Marquez Valdes-Scantling? Right, so being a game manager, I think, gets a little too much of a negative connotation around it. And what I would say to that is he's more than that anyways. You know, again, this is not a superstar. It's not Mahomes or Allen, right? There does need to be a system and a little bit of a support group around him where I'd go, yeah, Allen and Mahomes, you could put them in any offense and they're going to make it work. They're just that talented, right? But that's like a very elite group of people we're talking about in the history of football. You know, Marino, Elway, Favre, Rodgers. Like, okay, those guys, maybe. After that, there's some other all-time greats that I go, no, they need some system. They need a little help. They can't just go, I'll make it happen, guys, right? Purdy's got a nice mix. He's Kirk Cousins-ish. Within the pocket, reading the field, being able to digest all the things Shanahan does, that's a skill in its own, right? There's a lot of quarterbacks in football that cannot handle the Shanahan offense. So his skill, one of his greatest skill sets is his ability to mentally compartmentalize things and do that, let alone he is a good thrower. And he's an underrated athlete, as we saw last week. Why is he a game manager, yet he made plays backyard-wise last week, and then Jared Goff's not a game manager, and he can't move at all and never do anything. But he gets this, oh, look at Jared Goff. And then I go, wait, Brock Purdy, every time somebody was open, made something happen, made a throw, whatever. And Jared Goff can't do any of that, but he's not a game manager, and Brock Purdy is. I don't get that.
Right now I'm kind of leaning Chiefs because I think he's the best player. What do you think?
Well, it's hard not to lean Chiefs. I picked 49ers Chiefs before the year. That's not a going out on a limb, right? Nothing like that. I picked the 49ers to win. I don't feel great about that right now. I'm shocked as I sit here and talk to you to go that the 49ers are favored. Like, they peaked in December. They haven't really played good football in 6 weeks. They got outplayed in both playoff games. I mean, outplayed, period. And then here you got the Chiefs, which is amazing in its own right because they played B-minus football the whole year, but then got to the end and said, we're going to start playing like a championship team. And they've continued to rise and go up, you know, on an upward trajectory. I'm leading Chiefs, too, because of the things you said as well. It's hard to see in a close game that number 15 is going to lose it.
You're a Longhorn. Yeah. Kyle Shanahan is a Longhorn.
Right.
Yet I never hear people ask him much about that.
You're right.
He played there with you.
I know. When we had a squad, and we had a lot of fun, and we had a lot of damn good players. It's a special time in our life. It really was. We had a blast being there. But, yeah, for whatever reason, you're right. I never hear him ask questions.
Does he consider himself a Horn?
100%. 100%. He is a Horn through and through. And, you know, like I think I told you, I think they talked to him when they had some coach openings back in the past, right? I don't think he's made for college football and he wants the NFL, but nonetheless, he's a Horn through and through.
Speaking of college football.
Yeah.
You were born about 20 years too early.
Damn, you're right about that.
NIL, baby.
Gosh.
I mean, how much money do you think you could have made? You were the starting quarterback at UT. Okay?
Yes. I mean, right. I was the number one recruit in the country. I mean, I'd like to think I could have made, you know, maybe $1 million or something like that. I know it's, you know, inflation and whoever the world's at. But, yeah, man, timing's everything. That's for sure.
So, is it good for college football, this and the transfer portal? I mean, let's say in your day, you know, maybe Major Applewhite transfers when
right.
you take over the job. I mean,
yeah.
All that stuff's going on now that wasn't then.
I like that the players are being compensated a little, all right? I'm certainly in favor of that. Has it gone a little crazy? Yeah. I mean, guys that haven't even played in the NFL are making more money than a guy like Brock Purdy who's in the Super Bowl in the NFL. That's insane. They have to change something. There's no way it's sustainable, right? Like, I talked to Mac Brown about this about 6 weeks ago, and he was basically going, I have a guilty conscience. I'm asking a guy, the same guy, like three times in a year, can you give us another million? Can you give us another million? How is that sustainable, right? There's going to have to be a salary cap of some sort, and there's got to be some other guidelines. The mid-level school is going to fall off earth, Like, we're going to be in an era here going, it looks like it's going to be Texas, Alabama, USC, Ohio State, Georgia, right? I'm probably missing another team. We're going to be talking about the same five teams, six teams every year, the whole year, because they have more money than everybody else.
They look ready to go to the SEC.
Yeah.
Do you think they are?
I think they are. I do. You know, again, I'm not like in tune to college football all year. You know, I'm a casual watcher. I'll dive into draft stuff, of course, as you know. But, man, I mean, to me, the biggest thing is when I turned on the Alabama game earlier in the year, that was the first time in a while I turned it on and went, we look the part. Like we're not dwarfed by their O-line. Like, our D-line looks legit. Our O-line looks like – so that, to me, SEC football, which is not even close to the best conference in college football, we better have those type of guys, and it looks like we do, and looks like we're ready to go.
All right. I guess I'll kind of wind it down with Dak. I mean, you know, the Cowboys got embarrassed a month ago.
Yeah.
And Dak got embarrassed.
Right.
Everybody got embarrassed.
Sure.
involved with that club. Do they need to change anything or keep on the same track?
I just think they got to be a little, like – I think you can win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott. You don't think Dak Prescott could play in the 49ers and look a little bit better and be like maybe in a Super Bowl, right?
Believe that.
I believe it. I do. You know, again, is he Mahomes or Josh Allen or Burrow or Lamar? No, okay, but there's a lot of good that Dak does, like a lot. He is a really good football player. When I look at the Cowboys, one, I think the talent on the team's overrated, right? There's the D-tackle positions, average for football. The middle linebackers are average. The safeties are average, all right? That's a Jerry Jones problem. That's not a Dak Prescott problem. The Jones are ones making the team. You know, the defense with Dan Quinn was a little bit, this is what we do. Okay, well, the Packers know what you do, and they scored 48 on you and stopped playing in the fourth quarter, right? And offensively, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. I've made a lot of comments and showed pictures on my podcast throughout the year. The offense is too basic in Dallas. It's, you know, these guys over here, they're running trigonometry in the Super Bowl, and they're kind of still doing addition and subtraction in Dallas on the offensive side of the ball. They run plays and things where I just go, well, damn, Green Bay saw this play 90 million times back in OTAs, let alone here in the playoffs. Like, you thought they were going to be like, oh, whoa, what do we do with this play? So that's where I feel like the Cowboys got to reinvent themselves a little bit more in that area too.
So you're saying that's a coaching issue.
Yeah, it's a coaching issue for sure. And I'm not saying fire Mike McCarthy. He's made some adjustments, but I still think there needs to be more there. And what you see, like when they lost to the 49ers early in the year, there's just, you know, Dallas more times than not can kind of be basic on the offensive side of the ball. And because the receiver's good and the O-lines are good and the running back's pretty good, they can just make it happen against most of football with like this basic offense. But when it gets into these, oh, it's the playoffs, they got a coach that's real smart, they got some players now that can match up with our talented offense, that basic crap doesn't work, and you got to be able to be a little outside the box, and I think they lack that in a little.
Chiefs, yeah. Win?
I'm leaning Chiefs. I haven't made my official pick, but yeah, right now I'm kind of thinking Chiefs in a close one.